Later on, I may tell you about Tim's many failings as a man and as a table tennis player. But important first to say the one big thing. I've only loved three men in my life. My dad was a frosty bugger, so that only leaves dear Uncle Desmond, B.B. King, obviously, and this young man here. I'd only give one piece of advice to anyone marrying. We're all quite similar in the end. We all get old and tell the same tales too many times. But try and marry someone kind. And this is a kind man with a good heart. I'm not particularly proud of many things in my life, but I am very proud to be the father of my son.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red String Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is one of my best friends and my co-host, also known as the most likely man to use a time machine to try to get Margot Robbie, Perk. How you doing tonight?
No comment.
Let me just ask you this, Perk. In this movie, when he goes back to Margot Robbie's hotel room after they had dinner, one, what do you think was going to happen? And two, what would you have done?
Well, see, I guess I'm not as good of a person as as our main character here, but, like, you can literally undo time, so...
That's why I was so scared watching that scene.
Yeah, well, fortunately for you, it's not that deep, so good guy makes good guy decision, and we move on.
But. Yeah. We'll get into it, because the movie we're talking about this week is About Time. Before that, as always, don't forget to check us our podcast out on podcast services every Friday. Share it with your friends if you like it. We'll maybe have like an email to write in or social media up soon, but for now we're just enjoying movies and talking about them. So yeah, and stay tuned to the end where we'll reveal what we're watching next week. But this week we're doing About Time. Perk, give us some facts about this movie.
All right, so About Time is a 2013 joint. I'm noticing here pretty much every movie we've watched is from like 2013 or 2014, so maybe that was the golden age that no one talks about.
I know, it's the prime time.
It was directed by Richard Curtis, who is notable for like mainly a bunch of other rom-coms, including I think he was a writer for Love Actually, which is a rom-com I quite enjoy. And yeah, it stars Domhnall Gleeson, who's our red string tie-up from last week, and Rachel McAdams, who, fun fact for you, the original female lead was supposed to be Zooey Deschanel, but she couldn't do it due to scheduling conflicts, so Rachel McAdams was cast instead, a much more tolerable actress.
Are you a Zooey Deschanel hater?
I really don't like Zooey Deschanel.
Oh my! She's perfect in New Girl, though. You can't deny that. For who she is, she is perfect in that show.
I've never watched New Girl. Just seen a few episodes, and I can't get past Zooey Deschanel because I just can't stand her.
I don't believe you, but I will say I think for this movie, I think Rachel McAdams was a better choice. Just because she's still able to do that kind of like humble, doesn't think too much of herself. Kind of character without being, I don't want to say like a meme, but like Zooey Deschanel is like very much kind of always plays that character. So I think this is a good pick for Rachel McAdams. But yeah, just overall though, Perk, what did you think of this movie?
A mixed bag, I think, for me.
Okay.
Because I like the gimmick where our main character finds out that he can travel back in time in his own life, and that's the main mechanic, and he meets this girl and falls in love and tries to win her over by redoing moments and eventually does win her over. And then the So like the first part I get, I like, you know, it's kind of a cool little twist on the rom-com genre. And then the middle, probably third of the movie really lost me because it's like events happening in Tim, our main character's life, but there's no tension at all
There's no conflict, yeah.
because everything can be undone and is undone. So like at one point his sister gets in a drunk driving accident and he's like, oh shit, I'm gonna go back in time and make that not happen. And then he does, but then he has a different kid, and I'm like, oh wow, we're gonna have to deal with a different kid. But he undoes that, and I don't know, there's not really much to hook you in the middle of the movie. And then the last third is very meditative on a lot of like deeper themes, so I liked that quite a bit too. But it kind of came out of nowhere. It almost felt like three different movies to me.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, and I think I'm a little bit higher on it. I end up really like this movie. I have a couple like main issues, specifically with the rules of time travel and also how he behaves in the beginning of this movie. But
Of course
overall,
you have problems with the time
I know,
travel,
I'm a stickler
nerd.
for the rules, man. But if any,
I am too. I've
I
whined and moaned to you about Avengers too many times, so I'll let you speak.
Yeah, like it's a new podcast, people might not know yet, but anytime there's rules introduced for like a magic system or anything like that, I really like rules. I really don't like when they break the rules or they don't treat the rules with respect. And I think that happens a couple times in this movie. But overall, though, I think what you said in the middle, I was also feeling it too, of like there's like no conflict in the middle of this movie. And it's not even like there's no tension because he can just redo anything. It's also like nothing really happens for him to redo until like the car accident with his sister. Like there's a long stretch where there's literally nothing bad happens that
Like
you would
things
need
just
to.
go well for Tim. Yeah.
And I was just like, but I still felt tension because I'm expecting like a typical rom-com, which is boy meets girl, boy and girl really like each other. Then there's some conflict that makes them break up for a little bit, then they come back together at the end. That doesn't happen in this movie at all. Like they get together, like once they get together, they're together the rest of the movie, and it's totally fine. There's no issues between them. So I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it never did. And then by the time we got to the end of the movie and we get the message, or not the message, the part where his dad tells him to relive every day a second time with let and you have less stress because you know it's going to happen. You kind of just enjoy the smaller moments. I don't know if this was intentional by the writer, but I think it's kind of a meta on the entire movie itself because in the middle of the movie, and I'm just waiting for something bad to happen. If I watched it again, I wouldn't be worrying and I just enjoy the movie more because like, oh yeah, this is just the middle part where like good things happen. Maybe I'm overthinking that a little too much.
I think that's a reach, but I think it's a good, like, yeah, if that's a good analysis of it for sure. A good it maybe you're projecting your own thoughts onto the director,
Yeah, I might
but
be giving too much credit, but I think it kind of works.
no, it I'd see that tie for sure.
Because like even before I started this movie, I'm like, oh, it's 2 hours, which I was surprised by. Usually rom-coms like hour and a half, like every
I
single
was also
time.
surprised, yeah.
But I think they make up for it. I do appreciate this different structure, different than the one I just laid out, where the guy and girl get together, like you said, within the first third of the movie, and then they're together the rest of the movie with no problems. You kind of see other parts of their life, the kind of what happens after you get married, which you don't often see in rom-coms. Usually the last scene is them like deciding like, oh yeah, we're gonna be together. So I think it's, and maybe this writer is, kind of known for his different approaches, i.e. Love Actually, right? But
Yeah.
overall I think I ended up really liking it. But I guess to get into the issues I have, we'll start with the time travel rules. So we gotta do it, Perk.
Yeah, no, I need to hear 'cause I didn't catch anything.
So almost immediately, I got very confused because, his dad brings him in to explain the rules of time travel, and it's like you can go backwards, but you can't go forwards in time. And I'm like, okay, cool. So that means you can just go back, but then you have to like live all the way back up to the moment like you were originally at. It took me a long time to realize like, oh, you can like go back to the future up until the point you left. So like so basically, when the first time he travels, he goes back to the party, and then he just zooms back to talking with his dad. I'm like, whoa, you just broke the rules immediately, but that's not true. So I just didn't understand that immediately. But the two
Yeah,
times.
you thought he more had to deal with the Futurama style time travel. Have you seen the Futurama movies?
I have not.
Okay, so basically in those in the first Futurama movie, they discover a time code, which Bender can use to travel back in time, but it's one way. So, like, if any person used it, they would just get stuck in, like, the medieval times or wherever they wound up. But since Bender's a robot, like, he just goes back, steals some shit, and then hides out in the basement for thousands of years.
That's pretty funny, actually. But yeah, that's what I thought it was gonna be, because he's like, it's only within your own life. So I'm like, oh yeah, so might you guys have to, like, one of the negative things about this time travel is that you have to, like, wait out the entire time. But that'd be the case. The two times I feel like they broke the system were when his sister gets in the accident and they go back to the party, she doesn't meet the guy that was really mean to her, and they come back, and then he finds out he has a different kid. I'm like, oh, this is really clever. And he talks to his dad about later on, like, oh, I can't go past, past when my kids were born, because I might get different kids out of it. My question is, how the fuck did he reset the entire situation? Because he goes back with his sister, they've changed the party, they've fast forward back to the future, she's fine, but now they have a different kid. And then what? So then he went back in time again and didn't change the party. And so, assumingly, everything was the same, and, like, the same sperm impregnated the egg in Mary. And how did he reset that? It doesn't,
Yeah,
like.
so the it's weird because it's one of those things where, in another Futurama bit, right? Where like when they go back in time or forward in time, there's another copy of the person there. Whereas in this movie, like, so if he travels back in time to the party, does his body just disappear at the party and he shows up in the closet or something? I think they didn't dive too deep into continuity because it's a rom-com, but
Yeah, and it's not as fun, but I was just very, I'm like, how the fuck did you reset this entire situation that you fucked up?
yeah, no, and also as soon as they get back to the future in when they go back to make sure that she doesn't meet what's his face,
Jimmy, I think.
Jimmy, and she gets back and immediately knows that like she's dating Jay.
Yeah, her memory's like
So,
reloaded
yeah.
in her head. Yeah.
Why doesn't Tim have memories of his son?
Yeah.
Like, he comes out expecting the daughter, but in this reality, he would have never had the daughter, you know?
I had the same thought. I think the way to get around that one, at least like headcan, is like he's so focused on his sister, on Kit Kat, he's not thinking about it until he gets home. And then he's
Oh,
like,
okay.
oh shit. But he would still theoretically have memories with his son, but also from his daughter. That's a mind fuck I don't really want to get into, because I'd be messed up having like this kid that you theoretically could have. That gets real messy real fast, and I understand why they didn't go into it too far in the movie.
Yeah, or
But
maybe he functions like I'll bring in another one. Maybe he functions like shadow clones in Naruto, where like all these different like times he lives through it, he gets to keep all those memories because he just collapses back together.
I think he does, but to that logic, do you think his sister remembered time traveling after he reset everything? Probably
Yeah.
not. You think she does?
Oh, maybe not.
Because she didn't know about that. Jay had a crush on her, even though she found out they were together in the other timeline. So I don't think she
Oh,
remembers it.
no, also because he undoes that, remember?
Yeah. So I'm saying she probably doesn't remember time traveling at all.
Right. Yeah, 'cause he goes back to not do that first one. But yeah, so I have confirmed by my logic here that About Time is a shonen anime.
Really, the take of the year right there.
Yep.
But the other time I think it breaks is at the very end, right before his third kid is born. He goes back to see his dad one last time because he can't see his dad anymore after his third kid's born. Because we just established the rules, like, once a kid is born, you can't go past that kid's birth because he might mess it up. So his Mary's about to give birth to the third kid. He goes back to see his dad one more time. They play ping pong, and his dad's like, "Oh, it's time, isn't it?" He's like, "Yeah." And his dad's like, "Well, we can do one more thing. It's kind of against the rules, but I think we'll be okay." And it's them going back to Tim being a little kid, and they're like playing on the beach, him and his dad. And it's
Okay, so
like,
I do have kind of a headcanon way around that.
okay.
My theory is, well,
Is it am I
no.
guess can I guess what your theory is? Is that the dad didn't time travel past Tim's birth, so it's okay?
Maybe, 'cause yeah, maybe since like the focus of the time travel, like Tim's just along for the ride in that one. It's hard to know. Yeah, 'cause I was gonna say since he time traveled back, maybe he was visiting his dad on a day before any of his kids were born. But if that were the case, all his kids would be different when he got back. Unless maybe he went back in time to a day where they just played ping pong, and so him playing ping pong didn't change anything.
I think the first time travel is when he already, after he's been diagnosed with cancer, it's just like one last thing. But then the second time travel to when Tim's a kid on the beach. My only headcanon is like, if they don't change literally anything, like they had that day in the past, he's just reenacting that day again, then nothing would be changed, so it ends up being okay. And that was like so far long ago, it maybe wouldn't affect him meeting Mary. But it's just like, you literally just establish the stakes of like, you're never going to see your dad again because you can't go past when your kids are born. And then you go past when your kids are born. It's like, but besides those two
Maybe it's
things,
like
I like the time
Inception
travel a lot.
where since it's nested, it maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I understand why they put that scene in. Like, it's a cute scene with him, his dad, and then Tim as a kid. But, you know.
No, and that, like I said, I was kind of meh on this movie, but I was like real sad towards the
Oh,
'cause
yeah.
when his dad said he was, or when Mary brought up having a third kid. At that point, I hadn't realized, oh, well, that means then he can't see his dad anymore. I didn't actually put that together, so that kind of hit.
Neither did I. Now that was a really. I think everything they did with that, the kid stuff with the time travel, I think was really smart and really clever, and a nice kind of twist on time travel we haven't really seen before.
Well, otherwise, there literally would be no stakes in the entire movie. There's
Right.
like nothing to lose or gain.
Yeah, because there's no downsides to this time travel. You can literally redo the same thing over and over and over again. But anyway, the other main issue I have of this movie, and then I'll get into more positive stuff, is how creepy Tim is in the beginning of this movie, trying to get Mary. Like, okay, so the saving grace is that when he met Mary for the first time, it was a natural, they met naturally and they had natural chemistry, and like, it was very normal and cool, and they like got along
Yes.
and it was good.
But without that scene, it is a guy abusing time travel to trick a woman into loving him.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Also, Vanessa Kirby, why the fuck are you giving your exact address out to some random dude you literally just met that has been being weird the entire time you've known him? What the fuck was that?
Literally has always been a weirdo, like creeping. Yeah, very odd.
Like, so weird. So like that part just put like a just a little smudge on this movie for me of like, at least they met like naturally and that and they had chemistry and that was fine. But then the him trying to get her again, it's like, here's what I would have done, Perkins. Because and I was sitting there baffled at why he didn't do this. So like, he meets Mary with on the blind date, right? It goes great. He gets her number. Boom. Gets home. Harry's upset because of his play got fucked. So he's like, oh, okay, I'll fix your play. Goes back a day, and apparently all that's needed to fix Harry's play is to talk to two actors before the play starts. I know he ends up doing that one live, but he could have talked to that other actor too. So talk to both actors before the play starts, and then leave, and then go meet Mary normally, like you did. Why the fuck are you doing this roundabout way to try to meet her again at this Kate Moss exhibit? Like,
Or you could do what you did with his sister when he time traveled with his sister and screwed stuff up and then went back and somehow didn't time travel. Surely you could have just said, "Oh, screw my buddy's play," and then
yeah.
not gone back or not gone to the play, you know?
Yeah, like you had, or like memorize. This might probably won't work. Like memorize her phone number before you go back and lose it, but then just kind of cold calling her would be weird. Also,
Yeah, a little bit.
that part of him, like getting married is great, and then losing her is like, and then getting her back is like, I don't know about that. But at least again, once you know he goes to the party to meet her, and he could you know manipulate her into going on a date with him. Once they're actually on the date, that chemistry comes back, and they do have good natural chemistry, and like ends up being fine. It's just like that whole part there where he's being really creepy. I'm like, can we not do this? But yeah, those are the main two things: that time travel rules and the creepy part. But besides that, I overall like really enjoy this movie. I think the whole thing with Margot Robbie in that first summer is so funny. Of you know, the last night he asks her, she's like, "Oh no, you should ask me sooner." Then he goes back to ask her sooner, and she's like, "Oh no, wait for the last night." And I thought, I just got a really kick out of that because people will always tell you how they'll act in certain situations, and nobody knows. Nobody knows
Right.
until you're actually in that situation, what you're gonna do. So I thought that was a really like nice, funny moment in the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like I said, I liked the I liked the first. I don't. I thought the first part was okay. I was like did get the overtones of like this is super creepy, but you know it's like cute enough and it's a rom-com, so you can let that slide. The middle part was sleeper for me, and I really liked the final third. But so and obviously like the acting's good all around, but character-wise, I didn't really like the way that the movie handled Mary. Because the first third, she's the object of affection, and their relationship is key. And then for the like last two thirds of the movie, she's kind of just a setting. Like she like her character doesn't really have anything to do, because it as a rom-com, it's about the chase and like the romance and falling in love, and since this is told from Domhnall Gleeson's standpoint, and he's the one with the powers and everything, he gets the girl in the first third. After that, she's just there to have children and move the plot along.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think she has like some good character interactions, but they're pretty short and far between. So yeah, I agree with him that she kind of just there to, like you said, kind of move the plot along. But I guess as a rebuttal to that, what I'll say is like this is a rom-com, but also like it's not like it does like very much live up to a title of About Time. Like this is a movie about time travel, but also like how to spend your time. Like the theme talk about the end, right? It's like how we all are experience time and what to do with time. Like that's almost more the subject than like the romance at the end of the day. But I totally hear your criticisms, and I think that's totally valid.
Yeah, I think this movie's caught between a couple things, because I don't think it's effective enough as a rom-com, because the rom-com part of it pretty much ends after the first 40 minutes, and I don't think it's as effective as it needs to be as a sci-fi, you know, because as we discussed, the all the holes all over the plot from a like technical perspective, so it's kind of just hovering in the middle ground. Which is not necessarily a problem. I mean, how many other sci-fi rom-coms have you seen?
No, for sure, for sure. And
Yeah.
also like speaking more on like the characters, I think a lot I've really enjoyed a lot of the characters in the movie. I think you could argue that some of them are underutilized, but also it felt kind of realistic of like how often you see friends and family. Like obviously his dad, Bill Nighy, he is just the goat in this movie. He is absolutely
Yeah,
incredible.
he's great.
I also like Uncle Desmond. I wasn't like his humor wasn't really hitting for me, like him being like not knowing anything. But the moment at the end where before Bill Nighy dies, when he was talking about how he's like, yeah, like he told me at your wedding that he loved me. That was the best day of my life, and I'm really sad now. Like that got me. I'm like, this dude is just a big like sweetheart and is kind of oblivious, but that stuff really hit. And like I liked his mom a lot, even though I think she was a little bit underutilized because she was really funny, but she wasn't in it very much. I just think all the supporting cast like really worked for me.
Sure.
Another thing I liked a lot was the after the night when him and Mary go on the date and they hook up and everything, and then they have the romance montage of them like going through the metro station back and forth, you know, kind of passage of time.
Yeah.
I love a good romance montage, Burke, and I think this was very well done, keeping it in one setting, you know, showing it was. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I think they did a really good job with
It was a
that.
solid scene, yep.
Yeah. Near the end of the movie, when his dad tells him like the true secret of time travel, which is the live the day over again, and we don't know about that until we watch him go experience one day, and then he says, "Oh yeah, might do it again." I really like how they shot it the second time because they choose slightly different shots, as particularly when he goes in to get like lunch or whatever. The first time he just comes in, you just see like Tim, and he like you know is kind of looking down and like getting his food and paying and get leaving. But the second time he comes in, it actually shows the woman's face, the cashier's face, because he's actually looking up and like seeing like what's around him, and you get to see her face, and he's like nicer, and then he leaves. And I just really enjoyed that because I've experienced that in my own life where it's like you're just kind of getting through shit, and you don't even notice what's going on around you, and it's like good to take time and look around and see the actual people you're interacting with. So I thought it was a very effective way to kind of show the themes of this movie, which is, you know, use your time wisely.
Yeah, I agree. I think that scene was nice, the living every day over, and I thought it was a little maybe goofy, and like towards the end it got kind of, not preachy is the wrong word, but a little heavy-handed and cheesy when he's like, now I don't even live the days over anymore. I just live every day in the moment. And it's like, yeah. Okay. That's always where this was going. Like,
it's very much the Tobey Maguire voiceovers at the beginning and end of Spider-Man movies. It's like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of character voiceovers in general.
No, I was actually, I forgot to mention, I really don't like voiceovers. And this movie is like a big perpetrator of, God, just there's tons of voiceover at the start and tons at the end, and it's, very existential and heavy-handed, kind of cringe.
Yeah, a little bit. And the message is good. I think it's a good message, and they do a pretty good job, I think, of maintaining that message throughout the movie. As not with him killing him softly, which I ragged on about a couple weeks ago. A little bit better about it, but. Yeah, overall, I think I knew going into this a lot of people really like this movie, like as kind of a step above a lot of just standard rom-coms, and I see why now. I don't know if I fully agree. I think it is like a very quality rom-com and should be seen by people, but I get it. I think the structure is really cool and there's a lot of good scenes and characters. So
no, I definitely agree. If you're gonna fault this movie, you certainly can't fault it for being unique.
Yeah, because
not a lot of rom-coms have any depth at all. So to have like the extra layer of time travel, but then to also pivot it into like a strong message and very emotional character moments, definitely cool. Definitely a cool idea.
Yeah, for sure. So would you recommend this movie?
I don't recommend rom-coms, if I'm honest, because I don't often recommend rom-coms, but I'd rarely watch them either, which is nice that, we can do this occasionally so I can broaden my grasp outside of A24. but I probably would say if someone asked me if that movie was any good, I'd say, yeah, give it a watch. I suppose, if someone wanted me to recommend a rom-com, I'd tell them to watch Palm Springs.
Such a good movie.
But I guess if someone specifically asked, should I watch About Time, I'd say yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think if I was recommending rom-coms specifically, I'd throw this one on the list. I'm similar to you, as I don't watch a lot of them, but I will say Perkins, there was a time in undergrad. I don't know if it was senior or junior year, but
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, my friends can attest. I was in a down bad phase and watched like almost 10 rom-coms like in a row. A lot of them weren't that good. Some of them were stood out.
What were some of the highlights?
So one of my favorites is a Netflix one that came out a few years ago. Came out a few years ago called Set It Up. It has Zoe Deutsch. Zoe Deutsch is the lead girl, and Glenn Powell is the guy who I think he was in Workaholics, maybe. Anyway. Very standard thing where, the guy and a girl work in the same building, their bosses are really unhappy, so they want to set their bosses up together to make their lives easier, but then, of course, Perkins, they fall in love themselves, and it's pretty by the books, but it's just, like, it's more, one of the more well-done rom-coms I've seen, and just kind of makes me happy, so I like that one quite a bit, but, yeah, overall, I don't really watch a whole lot of them, and I will talk about one later on. As far as and the bonus reviews that I watched this week, but
sure.
And then, what movies would you recommend based on this movie?
All right, so I never thought I would find another movie like this, but like dead on, another like it's not even one of the highlights that I'm comparing necessarily, but The Spectacular Now, which came out whenever it came out. It stars Miles Teller, who I think is pretty good, and Shailene Woodley, who I do not very much care for. She is quite good in that movie, though. But the similarity is that they're both a rom-com for like 45 minutes, or like, the first third of the movie, and then there's a whole lot of movie after it that really just kind of leaves the whole rom-com premise behind. And actually, like, I I didn't really enjoy the spectacular now in the first third, because it's very typical coming of age, you know, cool guy, nerdy girl. Like, it's been done 1,000 times, but then they end up getting together pretty quickly, and there's a lot of movie that comes after that and a lot of different places they go. Another movie I would probably not pull out of the out of a hat and say, hey, you should watch this. But if someone's like, hey, have you seen The Spectacular Now? I'd say, yeah, it's good.
Okay. And I just looked it up. For instance, it's 2013. So we are at our bag
right now. Of course it was 2013.
Early 2010s. But yeah, no, I hope we see more movies with this format of, like, yeah, the first part's a rom-com, but then it does something interesting afterwards, something different afterwards. I think it's a very interesting format. And
yeah, instead of having just, you know, an 80-minute tool around sexual tension that ends in the couple kissing with music and doves.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I have two recommendations. One of them is called Ride Your Way, which I'm going to get to in the Blunt Review because I just watched it this week, so I'll save that for now. The other one is a pretty just easy one, but if you haven't watched Interstellar yet and you like time travel, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying, Perk? It's like, to me, that is like my favorite time travel movie because of the scene, minor spoiler, well, I won't spoil, but the scene with Matthew McConaughey watching the video.
Yeah, watching video, just, come on. Oh, come waterworks on. Every time.
Like, yeah, if you like time travel stuff and you have not seen Interstellar, go out and watch that goddamn movie.
Oh, yeah, and Naruto and Futurama, of course.
I can't recommend Naruto. I can't do it. If you do decide to watch it, skip all their filler, in my opinion. But I'm also...
You didn't watch any of the filler.
Yeah, because I got time. I don't have time
to
watch.
Yeah, in your opinion on the filler that you didn't watch.
Perkins, that show is 500 and... No, actually, the two combined, Shippuden and Naruto combined, is like 750 episodes, and literally half of it is filler. I'm not watching that shit. I'm not doubling the length of a show to watch stuff that's not good.
I'm just saying, don't give recommendations on some shit you haven't watched. There are definitely a couple good filler episodes. There's one specifically where the entire episode is the team whatever trying to rip off Kakashi's mask.
I watched that. I watched the first like 10 minutes of that or 5 minutes of that one because you mentioned that to me, and it was just weird as shit. I'm just like, it's such a different tone.
No, and the bit in the end is they rip off his mask and there's another mask under it. It's freaking hilarious.
Maybe I'll go back someday and watch it, but probably not.
Yeah, probably not worth.
Let's get into our bonus reviews. Anything else we watched this week we want to talk about? I watched two and you watched one, so I'll go first.
I thought of a second, but it's quick. So
okay, well, there we go, two and two. I'll start with Ride Your Wave because I had to talk about it. So this is a movie that I got recommended based on a TikTok creator that I follow. Shout out to Straw Hat Goofy. He watched this a while ago and said it was worth watching, and I just put it on my to-do list, and I finally got around to it this week. So this is an anime movie that is relatively new, and I'm actually going to pull up what they say for the synopsis because I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll just say what they say and what they think.
A surfer and firefighter meet and fall in love.
Okay, that's a good...
That's the IMDb blurb.
Okay, we'll go with that. A surfer and a firefighter meet and fall in love. And this movie is another, you know, it's kind of similar to ones we just talked about where it's mostly rom-com in the beginning and then kind of changes in this, and not really, but if you're looking for a very, very beautifully animated rom-com, I would recommend this movie. I will say the first part, first third, very wholesome. Second third gets really weird. It gets really, really weird. The last third, bawl my eyes out. So, I think it's worth watching if you really appreciate animation. It's on HBO Max, so it's really easy to watch. I'll check this one out. I want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's got a cool kind of mechanic to it. It's set by the ocean, you know, and the water is just gorgeous. Just all the animation is gorgeous, and there's like some music in it that's really good. So yeah, I would just check this movie out if you're interested in some little anime movie. Perk, what was your first thing you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I've started rewatching Letterkenny. Because the new season's coming out in a couple weeks, and it's a pretty easy watch. You know, half-hour episodes, only like 6 episodes per season.
Yeah, it's nice and short.
Yeah, and it's just, it's nice, easy watching, funny, cleverly written, you know, everything you need in something fairly watchable, and I just skipped the fart book episode.
I'm right there with you. That's the only episode I'm like, I can't keep watching this one on the rewatch because it's just not my kind of humor.
I'm just not a fan.
Are you how many let me ask you this. How many times have you watched it, and are you picking up anything new on this rewatch?
So I think this will probably be my third time through front to back. Oh, and yeah, I'm not really picking up all that much because it's kind of more background for me. Like
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm not paying the closest attention. I'm just, throwing it on if I'm like tighten something up or something like that.
Yeah. No, it's such a fantastic show. That's one of the I'm thankful I started watching it after I was really into subtitles, because I feel like you miss so many jokes if you don't have subtitles on, because they just talk
Yeah,
so fast.
definitely.
But yeah, it's great. I did watch that cold open they released recently, you told me about last time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing as usual. They're so good at doing sexual humor without being sexual. Well, I mean, you could take it. It's just
Wait,
it's
yeah,
very smart.
subtext,
The subtext,
not
yeah.
text. Yep.
It's fantastic.
And yeah, maybe I'll fork over $400 and go see them when they come to Minneapolis.
Oh, are they coming soon?
Yeah, February, January. They're
Hell yeah.
doing the Orpheum, which is a great venue for something like this, but I can't afford it. Like before it even sold out, tickets were like $150 a piece, which
Yes, that's a
now,
decent
of course,
amount.
it has sold out. So,
Yeah.
yeah, looking at 400 a pop.
Yeah, maybe I have to catch them the next time around, 'cause I think they tour pretty frequently.
I'm sure they do, probably between filming.
Yeah.
There was obviously the big black hole of COVID, but I don't even think I watched the show before COVID, so
No,
not like I
it's
would have missed any tours.
if you like very, very witty comedy, that's not very mean-spirited, I would recommend Letterkenny.
No, I have noticed that like it might be a little sus because there are a lot of lingering shots of beautiful women. This is something that I quite enjoy, but might understand that it could make some viewers uncomfortable.
Yeah, they do that a lot, but also, well, but at least the women are written pretty well and are written to be
Yeah, they're
like
actual
powerful and
characters.
like
Yeah.
independent. Like they're not really, written as sexual objects. They kind of use those shots to make jokes that aren't
Sure.
really at anyone's expense.
Like the Halloween episode.
Yes.
You remember that one
Yes.
where Bonnie McMurray comes out wearing like four different not costumes?
Yeah, that's they do. Yeah, because all of the jokes that are tied to each of those costumes, like, are really funny and well done. So like, yeah,
Yeah.
they very much know what they're doing. They're doing it kind of an ironic way, I think, and they don't. I don't know. I understand where you're coming from. Like, it could be taken in that way, and it probably is taken that way by a lot of people. But I think it's done in a smart manner. But I might just be giving them too much credit. I don't know. The other movie I watched this week that was the worst thing I watched this week by a mile was The
Uh-oh.
Matrix Reloaded, aka The Matrix 2. Jesus Christ, Perk, what a drop off from The Matrix 1. Have you seen this movie recently at all?
Not recently, no.
So,
See,
as.
now I'm just gonna not. Like maybe I'll rewatch the first one, but I'm gonna not want to watch two and three. It's too much
So.
work.
As I said, I'm rewatching the trilogy before Revelation, or what is it, Resurrections, because I'm very excited for that movie. And Matrix 1, fucking great movie. A couple things are a little off about it, like the Trinity and Neo love storyline makes zero t sense, but besides that, great movie. Matrix Reloaded is 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I tell you what, it could have been $1.30, easy. There are only two types of scenes in the Matrix Reloaded. It's either a way too long action scene or a way too long sex scene or a way too long exposition scene with the most dense exposition you ever heard in your entire life. Jesus Christ, they could have chopped off so much time, because like there's a scene in the beginning where they're in Zion, which is like the last human city, and there's a scene that's cutting between a group like dance orgy party kind of thing and Neo and Trinity having sex. It's going back and forth between those two things. And it lasts approximately 25 minutes. Like, it feels like it goes on so goddamn long. And not even that, like, all the action scenes, like, every action scene with Neo in it is not exciting and takes fucking forever. And I think the problem is, like, at the end of the first one, Neo essentially becomes, like, Superman. Like, he can do anything. And so which is really cool. But then this movie, they have to like nerf him to actually let him do action scenes. But it doesn't make any sense because theoretically, he will just finish anybody like immediately that he encounters.
Right.
But for some reason, it takes him like 15 minutes to dispatch one dude with martial arts. And it's like, it just doesn't really make sense in the world. And it's just like, the action scenes aren't interesting enough to go on for that long. Like, the scenes without Neo, with just with like Trinity and bad guys, or Morpheus bad guys, are actually pretty good because they have to be a little more creative. But yeah, so it was just way too damn long. Exposition is so dense. Like, even with subtitles, I was barely hanging on to the themes they were trying to like impart. This movie is way too fucking horny. Like, so much sex and sexual stuff and objectification of women that just doesn't need to be in there at all. Which is surprising, because the first movie has, like, zero horniness. Like, zero sex stuff at all. It's just, like, Neo and Trinity kissing at the end. Yeah. This movie is just very sad that it turned out this way. I think the Wachowskis were just trying to do way too much. And we'll see when I watch the last one next week if it's any better. But good Lord. I cannot recommend this movie, Perkins. I'd say watch the first one and hope you don't need to know the other two before going into four.
I'll read the Wikipedia.
Yeah. and that's the thing. Not a lot happens in this movie, Perkins. Like, the plot barely moves. So you can probably get read two paragraphs and understand the things you need to know about this movie.
But, sure.
Yeah. So anyway, what was the other thing you watched?
Yeah. So I just have been keeping up with the new season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm.
And ran into maybe the first unfunny episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, interesting. In the new season?
Yeah, I was very surprised. Yeah, the third episode of the new season is like a flashback to when they're all hanging out at a roller rink.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a flashback that, you know, obviously with like continuity issues, that it's such a well set up show at this point that just adding a roller rink next door, they can't really do much.
Yeah.
They can't really change much or like give much insight. So mainly most of the jokes, probably like half a dozen jokes, are Mac saying like, just you watch, in 20 years everyone's gonna have a beeper. Yeah. So most of the jokes in the show are guy says something but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The opposite thing happens. It's the lowest tier of humor.
Yes. So are you saying this is the first unfunny episode of the entire run of the show, or just in this season?
The first, probably, that I hadn't laughed out loud at, or not out loud, but the first show of the series that I haven't at least had a good chuckle with.
You didn't exhale out your nose?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
But the next episode's back to form. It's the gang replaces D with a monkey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Yeah. Pretty much just they find out that a monkey can run the bar better than Neandra.
That doesn't surprise me too much, honestly. Well, cool. I will say, as far as weekly releases, I'm keeping up with Hawkeye and Demon Slayer right now, but I'm going to save those for when the seasons end, and I'll talk about them.
And when I illegal myself the episodes of Demon Slayer on the interweb.
Just get Crunchyroll, dude. Crunchyroll's free with ads.
Is it really?
Yeah. There's a lot, I mean, decent amount of ads, but like you can just go on there and watch them straight up.
I mean, Demon Slayer's, what, 20 minutes? How many ads? Is it four?
Probably.
Ugh, gross. Back to the pirate waves.
I will say the new arc just started, and it's good. It's really good.
I'm shocked. I wouldn't have never thought.
I'm very excited to see how, because I know what happens. I read the manga, but I'm very excited to see it animated. So
yeah. Do they have the dub on Crunchyroll?
I don't know, actually. It might only be on Hulu.
Okay.
But I don't know if the dub's even out yet for the new season. I don't remember if the dub is like delayed for this one.
Which so that's fine.
Yeah, I have to look into it.
I'll just wait. I'm a dub truther. Sometimes.
I'm shaking my head silently, but I have to accept that some people are like that, and it's okay.
No, so I'm only a dub truther for animated stuff because I am wholeheartedly subbed for anything live action because there's so much more in an actual actor's like live portrayal.
Sure.
Yeah. Whereas you can kind of get away with like, yeah, just replacing a voice, all the art is the same, at least, you know,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
So I understand that the, you know, original language voice actors are definitely better, but if like the dub's quality enough, I'm all right with it. And like Demon Slayer has a good dub in my opinion.
For sure. I will say, I mean, I typically, yeah, I pick the sub because I usually enjoy the voice acting better, but I have a hard time figuring out like what's good and bad voice acting in Japanese because I don't speak Japanese. But I will say in the first episode of the new arc, which I think is episode 8 of season 2, one of the performances, I was like, God damn, you are talented. Like this dude was doing, like, was crying in the scene, and the amount of emotion he brought through with his voice was like, get this man a fucking award. Like that was incredible.
Nice.
So, yeah, watch Demon Slayer, people, if you want to get into anime.
The subs are up on Hulu.
Okay, so maybe the dub's going to be a minute.
It'll probably be a while yet. Because on Hulu, they have both the sub and the dub for the first season.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty so. Pretty usual. Funimation's where it has to go in and dub it up. So, yeah, so that's our reviews for this week. Perk, why don't you tell us what we're watching next week?
Yeah, so a minor character in this movie was played by Vanessa Kirby. So I figured we should, you know, keep the, you know, light, happy movie trend going and watch Pieces of a Woman, which came out like either last year or 2 years ago. And I was kidding about light and uplifting. So have fun watching that one this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, and this one will be on Netflix. So again,
yeah, it's a Netflix joint.
If you were able to watch About Time, you should be able to watch this one as well. And I know nothing about this movie, so I'm very interested to see how much it messes me up, because I don't think it's going to be a good time. But
oh, if you haven't looked at the cast list yet, don't.
Okay, let's go in blind. Yeah. I will say I was surprised with the cast list even in About Time. I was like, is that Margot Robbie? Is that Vanessa Kirby?
Yeah, right. As like very small characters.
Yeah, gotcha. But anyway. All right, that's our show for this week. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.